But now let's go back to the meaning of Buddhist. In what sense is the Western Buddhist order a Buddhist movement? In what sense is the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order a Buddhist movement? Well, very clearly, it depends on what we mean by Buddhist. And that depends upon what we mean by Buddhism. And there are so many different versions of Buddhism. There are so many different interpretations. In fact, the word Buddhism itself represents an interpretation. Buddhism was not originally called Buddhism. It was certainly never called Buddhism in India. It was certainly never called Buddhism by the Buddha. It was called the Dharma in Sanskrit, or Dhamma in Pali. And the word Dharma or Dhamma means reality. It means truth. It means law. It means doctrine. It means teaching. Or, one may say, it represents reality or truth as communicated in the form of a teaching from the enlightened to the unenlightened mind. And the originator of this Dharma, this, so to speak, vision of reality as a teaching, is, of course, the Buddha, Gautama the Buddha. He communicates to his disciples, to his followers, a reality, a truth, which he has personally experienced, the experience of which constitutes his enlightenment. And therefore, the Buddha is the spokesman, in fact, the best spokesman for the Dharma, the best interpreter of, so to speak, Buddhism. So what does the Buddha say that the Dharma is? What does the Buddha say that Buddhism is? And here, in this connection, we can refer to an episode in the Pali scriptures. But the Buddha himself was asked this very question. He was asked, what is your Dharma? Or what is your teaching? And he was asked by somebody called Mahaprajapati Gautami. And she is, perhaps some of you know, was the aunt and also the foster mother of the Buddha himself, who brought him up as a child after the death of his own mother, which happened when he was only a few days old. And subsequently, Mahaprajapati Gautami, the Buddha's aunt and foster mother, had become a follower of his teaching. She'd not only become a follower of his teaching, but she'd gone forth, as we say, after hearing his teaching from his own lips. She was so much impressed by it that she wanted to devote her whole life to it. She wanted to give up all her other interests and connections and ties. She simply wanted to practice the Dharma. So she went forth. She left home. She left her husband, the Buddha's father. She left her family, left the city of Kapilavastu. She went forth, wandering from place to place, meditating, and seeking to practice the Dharma. But she was not at that time in direct contact with the Buddha, so there was a certain amount of confusion in her mind. She wanted to practice the Dharma, but she wasn't quite sure what the Dharma was. And some of us, sometimes at least, may feel in that sort of position of wanting to practice the Dharma, wanting to practice the truth and put it into operation, but not being quite sure, perhaps not being at all sure, what the Dharma or what the truth actually is. So Mahaprajapati Gautami was in this sort of situation. She was in contact with some of the Buddha's disciples, some of them disciples of long standing. And she used to ask them what the Buddha taught. But unfortunately, they gave different interpretations. They said different things from different points of view. So in the end, she decided that there was only one thing to do, which was to go and ask the Buddha himself what he actually did fundamentally teach. So she made the long journey to where the Buddha was at that time, and she asked, as it were, point blank, she asked, what is your Dharma? She asked him, how can we know your Dharma? How can we know what you actually do teach? What's the criterion? So the Buddha told her. And I'm going to read a translation of what, according to tradition, is what he actually said to Mahaprajapati on this occasion. He said, go to me. Those things of which you know, these things lead to passion, not to dispassion, to attachment, not to detachment, to amassing, not to dispersal, to ambition, not to modesty, to discontent, not to content, to association, that is to say, association with the group, not to seclusion, that is to say, not to seclusion from the group, to idleness, not to energy, to luxury, not to frugality. Of them you can quite certainly decide this is not the Dharma, this is not the Vinaya, this is not the Master's teaching. But those things of which you know, these things lead to dispassion, not to passion, to detachment, not to attachment, to dispersal, not to amassing, to modesty, not to ambition, to content, not to discontent, to seclusion from the group, not to association with the group, to energy, not to idleness, to frugality, not to luxury. Of them you can quite certainly decide this is the Dharma, this is the Vinaya, this is the Master's teaching. So this, in the Buddha's own words, is the criterion. This is the principle. The Dharma is whatever contributes to the spiritual development of the individual. Whatever the individual finds in his or her own experience does actually contribute to his or to her own spiritual development as an individual. So individuals here in this passage, as in others, are clearly seen as living, growing, and developing things. And some of you in this connection may remember the Buddha's vision, so to speak, of humanity after his enlightenment. You may remember that immediately after his enlightenment, he was very undecided for a while as to whether he should actually teach the truth or the reality which he had discovered or not. He realized it was something very deep, very difficult, very abstruse. But eventually he decided that he would go forth and teach. He would communicate the truth which he had discovered to other living beings. And then he, as it were, opened his eyes and he looked out over the world to see these living beings to whom he had decided he was going to communicate the truth. So how did he see them? He saw them, we are told, just like a bed of lotus flowers. It was as though he saw a vast bed of lotus flowers spreading out in front of him as far as eye could reach in all directions. And this was humanity. This was the human race. And some of these lotus flowers, some of these beings, some of these people, if you like, were sunk in the mud, he saw. Sunk in the mud. Others had risen just a little way out of it, were struggling free. And others had broken free of the mud, had even in fact risen. Their heads had risen above the surface of the water, and their petals were open to receive the light of the sun. So this is how the Buddha saw them. This is how he saw humanity in this great vision of his after the enlightenment. He saw them all as beings, as individuals, if you like, as people in different stages of development, all growing, but needing the sunlight of the Dharma in order to grow, in order to develop further. And in another passage, in fact, in another text, in a great Mahayana sutra called the White Lotus Sutra, the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, there's another, in a way, complementary and very beautiful comparison. Here, individuals are compared not just to lotus plants emerging or in process of emerging from the mud and from the slime and the water, they're compared to different kinds of plants altogether, compared to leaves, compared to grass, trees, flowers, shrubs. And the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching, is compared to a great rain cloud. And you probably know how it is in India. For many, many months, it's very hot, it's very dry, everything is very withered, everything is very parched. And then suddenly, at the beginning of the rainy season, a great black cloud arises in the midst of the sky, the thunder and the lightning, and the rain falls, it falls very heavily and very steadily, day in and day out, sometimes for weeks on end. And when that rain falls in that way, everything grows. Everything that formerly was so dry and so withered and so parched starts springing, becomes green again. All the leaves, the grass, trees, flowers, shrubs, everything just grows. And everything grows in its own way. The tree grows as a tree. The shrub grows as a shrub. The grass grows as grass. The flower grows as a flower. Each grows in its own way. And this also is very important, because the Dharma, just like the rain cloud, gives us just the nourishment that we need. It leads us from where it finds us. Its starting point, so far as we're concerned, is where we are now. Because everybody, in his or her own way, needs the Dharma.